Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in, Sports City. It is the Major. I'm sitting here in the kitchen, sharpening some knives, prepping some food. It's almost dinner time. It's about ready to feast, and I'm going to sock it to you right now. This is Kitchen Madness from the Sports City Chef. What a month of March it was, and now we are into April, of course. Championship weekend is upon us. Tomorrow night we have the matchup to determine who the crowning team will be, Wisconsin versus Duke. I am not afraid to tell the kitchen here that I am sitting here solo, but if you're out there, welcome. Thank you for joining us live. Otherwise, appreciate you downloading and subscribing on iTunes, Sports City Chefs. Of course, always check the website, sportscitychefs.com. As usual, we're on Blog Talk Radio, Sports City Chefs, and make sure you check me out on Twitter, at the Major Gray, that's G-R-A-Y. A couple games this weekend, of course. We had the Final Four happen on Saturday, taking care of Michigan State in fine fashion, actually putting a wallop on them, I would say. I didn't get to watch the majority of that game, but from what I could tell, Duke pretty much had it in hand. I think we may now have... If I'm not mistaken, a caller in queue. We'll bring you in just a sec. And then, of course, obviously, the big grand poobah of the weekend. The field was successful. Kentucky is no longer in the running for an undefeated season. We're going to get to, I think, the reasons why and the hows and what does it all mean, all that stuff. So let's bring in the caller and see what's going on. 7330, what's your name? Where are you calling in from? Welcome into the kitchen tonight.
Hey, what's going on? This is Nacho in the Box, calling from Arizona. Just listening in and seeing what you're talking about, man.
What's up, Nacho? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I was just seeing what you were talking about. You know, I didn't read the description too much. I just read Kitchen Madness, so I figured you were talking about the game from yesterday and probably talking about the game tomorrow. So just seeing what you were doing.
Yeah, that's exactly pretty much this episode of particular. We'll talk about the games that happened yesterday, of course, and then a preview of tomorrow night's championship game. But generally, this show in particular just covers the whole aura around what is March Madness and college basketball in general. It's a seasonal show, so we don't have the show year-round. It's kind of a unique time of the year where we do this show in the kitchen. But generally, I'm joined in the kitchen by my man, TB Timeless. He is on delay, I think. He's going to be joining me here in a little bit. So it's just you and me, Nacho. I mean, here's my question to you, since you're joining me and you're just listening in. Did you expect Wisconsin to put up that kind of mighty effort last night and take that game?
I expected the effort, yes. Did I expect them to win? No. I definitely had Kentucky winning that game yesterday. I thought in particular it would take a grand effort, a 15-point win to beat Kentucky. I thought if it came down to, you know, a minute, 2 minutes, and you're within 5 points, or Kentucky's within five, their talent and their skill could get them 6 points and stop you defensively from scoring. So I thought that would be something that Kentucky would be able to do. I did not see Wisconsin being able to dominate the way they did and go, I believe it was 7 full minutes without scoring a basket, and then be able to, you know, close the game out the way they closed it out. It was just it was awesome just to watch them play the way they played as a team. It was pretty great to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was a slugfest from start to finish. I think the way the first half ended, you could have predicted that the second half was going to be just as epic. The thing that I think was lacking in the end for Kentucky, where they went wrong kind of, is exactly what you said. It's almost like they were finally shook for once. And they were intimidated for once. They weren't hitting the clutch shots they usually hit. They weren't getting the offensive rebounds or the second chances they would usually get. They were facing a team that had the thirst from a season ago to go out and redeem themselves, and that's exactly what they went out and did. There was an extra motivating factor other than the fact that you would spoil a perfect season. You were avenging a loss that previously occurred, and you're looking to maybe, you know, exact a little catharsis. And if you, I mean, look, here's, and this is, goes into a whole other batch of conversation for this topic, but if you're Kentucky, a game like that, if you would have won that game, this championship game, I feel, would have been a downhill battle, so to speak. But if you're a team like Wisconsin who wins this game, this is a championship game for you. You know what I'm saying, Nacho? This is a game that's on the level of a championship-type game just by the sheer effort you had to put forth to win that game. It's on the level. And now you're going to go play a Duke team in a championship game who had kind of coasted in their Final Four game. You know, they kind of coasted. They get their win in hand. They move on, and they get to sit back and watch Wisconsin kind of go to battle, you know, an all-out brawl and get their spot. And now it's almost like Wisconsin's kind of walking into a trap, I think, because of what they just went through. I mean, the hurdle they had to climb in getting over Kentucky, they deserve an award for that alone. And then now they have to go play Duke. I mean, and if I'm not mistaken, I think this is their second time playing this year. And so there's a little bit of revenge factor for Duke, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Wisconsin won that game. Or did they not? I can't remember. So what I'm saying here is, I'm getting at, there's a level of effort that you put forth and intensity that kind of pull out of yourself when you're a team like Wisconsin to win that game against Kentucky. And so now where does that leave you with your, in terms of gas and your tank playing a Duke team? And do you have a thought on that, Nacho? Do you think that it's kind of like, man, you just kind of went through an all out epic battle. Are you going to be able to repeat that?
You know, that was kind of the same question after they go 10 for 12 from 3-point against Arizona in the Elite Eight game. What they did behind the 3-point line in that game, and how they handled Arizona, who some people had them in the Final Four and the National Championship, Arizona I'm speaking about. So to do what they did to Arizona handily, I might add, people thought, well, do they have enough? Can they repeat performance against Kentucky? And they went out and did it again. It wasn't exactly, you know, the lights-out performance from three, but when they did it and it was tied 60-60, three-pointer, bang. Wisconsin did what they had to do when they had to do it. I think a lot of people put, you know, the celebration and how hard, I guess, the tough battle that it was. Wisconsin does that all year. They've been doing that all year, playing tough, hard games like that all year. So, and I think that when it came to how excited and relieved this team was that they won, the feeling of, like, you know, it's over, it's kind of got me thinking of U.S. Versus Russia in the 80s. You know, that wasn't for gold. We actually, you know, to get to them, then to play for the gold. So, you know, America,
yeah.
to beat Russia, then to play for the gold. So it's not like, you know, that game was the end-all, be-all. Well, it's not like, you know, stopping the record or beating Kentucky is the end-all, be-all. You automatically get the chip. I think this is Wisconsin knows what's at hand. They know what they have to do. And all the talk pregame beforehand, when they asked them how do they feel about stopping being the one, you know, the 38-1, not letting that streak continue, and them sincerely saying it wasn't in their mind, I believe them, because when you're trying to win a championship, there's going to be things in your way, obstacles that get in your way, and some of them may be bad, some of them may be good. An obstacle like stopping a streak is just something that happened to be in their way of a championship run. So I definitely don't think that the question of repeating is even a question anymore. I think that repeating the game, the type of game, performance, I think Wisconsin's on a run. I think it's just the way it's meant to be. The way they played Arizona and then following back up with Kentucky proved to me they're on a mission.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, what's funny is previously on this show, I said that I didn't think Wisconsin had it in them to beat Kentucky. I thought that Michigan State would have been the team that had it in them to beat Kentucky. Boy, was I wrong, because I wasn't even right about them beating Duke. So, you know, it's just funny how things work out and the way teams can really come on and develop into their full potential at certain parts of the season when they need to, especially right now. And Wisconsin is that team, obviously, in terms of, like, destiny, in terms of fate, who is gelling and you know, the stew is essentially mixed to the right temperature for Frank and Decker, and everybody's just playing lights out. Bo Ryan's coaching his heart out. I mean, at the end of that game, there was a chance it could have slipped away. There was a chance it could have slipped away, and they somehow were able to hang on and keep the lead, not only keep the lead, but drive home the fact they weren't going to let Kentucky back in the door. And that's key, I think, because, I mean, we've discussed this in the kitchen before. I don't know if you've listened to any previous episodes, Nacho, but it's been this running theme that Kentucky's way they beat you, what we have observed, is they allow you to, at the beginning, maybe if you want to show them what you got, they let you do that, but you can't keep up with the way that they're conditioned to play the game. And so if you're not a team that can match up condition-wise at the end of the game, like Notre Dame kind of ran out of gas at the very end. Not only that, some of their aggressive, you know, nature of defense and other ways that they, you know, were rebounding were causing them to be I guess, put behind. They were putting themselves behind because it created turnovers, et cetera. Anyway, what I'm getting at is Wisconsin was able to not just keep the foot on the gas, but not allow them to maybe trade baskets or blows at the end of that game. And they stuck to the free throw line and they closed it out. So kudos to Wisconsin. And even more so, you know, another sneaky entry into the finals for Coach K and Duke, who beat a really hot Tom Izzo team. And, you know, what can you say? It's just kind of one of those things. Somebody's got to lose. And this year it was Coach K's trying to win. So it looks like we've been joined by Mr. Timeless. Timeless, welcome into the kitchen, man. Good to see you.
I apologize, everybody. My fault, real bad, real bad. I apologize.
Oh, you ain't. You're here now.
I'm here now. I apologize. I let everybody down. Look, put this one on me. Put this one on me. Charge it to my tab. I don't got a heavy tab. Believe me.
This round's on Timeless.
Wow. No problem. No problem. I don't have a problem. Fort City, I'm back. I feel bad. I feel real bad. Like, listen, if y'all ever seen Boys in the Hood, I feel like Ricky just got shot. I feel cry at that part, you know. I still cry at that part.
Number love. So, more importantly, Timeless. Wow.
I feel bad. I'm wild. There's a lot of wild going on in this college basketball atmosphere, and I hear you talking about the Duke Michigan State situation. That blowout was a wowing experience. I did not think that Coach Izzo would, you know, get manhandled like that in a coaching turn. But it's the one thing that I felt bad for Michigan State is, regardless of how physical nature basketball they played, they had no answer for Okafor or Winston. Winslow. Justice Winslow was, you know, they couldn't figure him out, and anything Okafor wanted to do in that game, I mean, he was able to do. So I feel bad they lost that game basically in the front court.
Yeah, well, that's a running theme. It was at least a running theme for Duke that they weren't able to really operate as well as they should have been in the front court. And now, just similar to the way Wisconsin's turning on both ends of their game, Duke has come around underneath the basket, finally. They're rebounding. They're boxing out. They're getting the second chance points. They're, you know, causing fouls on other dudes. They're being able to drive to the basket underneath and be a presence, TP. And that's, I mean, these are ingredients to winning a championship. And there's no question that that's, you know, obviously why they've enhanced the weak parts of their game that we've seen all season and evolved. So, I mean, and as a coach.
I'm sorry. I mean, cut you off. I think the one thing that hurt Michigan State too was that great start. When they started bombing three after three, I think they had four consecutive three-point shots. They were up 14-6, and that's kind of like Duke's basketball, because now you want Duke to shoot the ball with you, and they stopped scoring. This is how crazy it was. It was 14-6, right? Duke ended up going on a 23-6 run, because the score ended up being 29-20 at that point. So they got their fair share of fouls to go their way, and you know, that's just how I feel about the nature of Duke basketball games. I think Coach K works those refs to, you know, get what he needs out there on the floor, if you will, but I can't take away the gameplay that happened. But I give a ton of credit to that front court, and once I think the biggest thing that happened, once Valentine rolled, like I said earlier today, I think he rolled both of his ankles, because one of them got stepped on and went the opposite way. The other one, he rolled as he went to the floor at the same time. He came off the floor, and it was kind of like Duke built that flame, you know, like that fire was already created. But once he went out, it was like they poured a bomb's worth of gasoline on that fire, and it was hard for them to put it out. Well, they didn't even put it out. So I feel terrible for Michigan State, because the run that they put together to get to this Final Four didn't even look like they were ready to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they only have the ability to wear the slipper to a certain point, these Tom Izzo teams. I mean, other than the one championship, I just feel like it's always been they're right at the last second, not there, and they disappear. And either there's a calamity like an injury or a bad call, or I don't know. I don't want to say it's karma. I just think it's just one of those things where the teams that Tom Izzo coaches are not – I don't know. They don't have that last bit of mustard to get them past like those hurdles that they need to get through to get to the championship. Because once they're in the championship, I feel like they can win it. But getting to the championship is where they really struggle.
There was an interesting thing that Chandler had said earlier today. He said, you got to tell Tom Izzo and his teams that it's still March. Don't tell them it's April. Because every time they get to April, they fall short. Because he's been
it's so true.
The number still amazes me. He's been to 9 Final Fours. 9.
I know.
He's only won
been to one
championship. He's only won one. When Mateen Cleaves and Mo Pete and them were balling Charlie Bell. I still remember that team. And, you know, he hasn't really gotten over the hump. Even though he's played some phenomenal teams as of getting there, I think people have to, you know, do Back to the Future and just tell him it's March 31st. And he still will get that same effort out of those guys. I don't know if they're just built up in the moment, seeing that new, you know, parquet floor be placed in front of them, and it says Final Four. I mean, that floor looked incredible, just to say on a side note. But I don't know if they're just ready for that situation. I think they play well as of, you know, playing regionals and Sweet 16, so on and so forth. But once they get for that Final Four, I don't know if Izzo doesn't give them the speech that he gave them to start off the tournament or what. I just feel bad that Izzo is a great coach. I'm not taking anything away from him at all. He's a great coach. I respect him as a college basketball coach. It's just terrible that he couldn't seal the deal. And the bad part is he was going up against Coach K, one of the generals, if not the general, of men's college basketball.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. It's like someone's got to lose. I mean, it was Tom. It was more likely than it was Tom. I mean, everybody was rooting for Michigan State. I mean, you know, he wanted to see somebody different. And even though it hasn't been Duke in a while, it's still like perpetually Coach K is always coaching a championship team this time of year. I mean, minus a year here and there, they're perennially there. So I don't know. It's funny, though, TP. I my bracket's killed. I had Kentucky going all the way. And so I'm out. I'm totally out. I'm done now at this point. But it's funny.
The crazy part is you went away from your gut. That's the crazy part.
I know.
My God.
I know.
I want you to know, Sports City, I want y'all to know this. Look, and I don't mean to put his chips out there like that, because I love the dude. But he was a guy while we were putting this recipe together, while we were putting this kitchen madness recipe together, before we really started getting heavy into this, he said, Ty, I got a mean recipe. I said, you know what? Tell me about it. I want to hear it. So he goes, Kentucky ain't going all the way, Ty. He said, they not running the table. I said, wow. Really? I said, okay. So I said, I want you to say that on here. I want you to say that on here. He said, you know what? I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it. It's going to be a brilliant recipe. So I'm like, okay. So I'm just chilling, doing what I do on the East Coast, right? And then next thing you know, we got the tournament bracket situation going, and he does go with Kentucky. I'm like, wait, what happened to the recipe, people? And sure enough, Wisconsin comes out, and they basically gave us the blueprint on Major's recipe, and he didn't even follow
through.
They did. So they put together the dish for us to talk about here in the kitchen today.
I know. How right and wrong was I at the same time? I mean, really, who could be more?
you can't be scared to cook that food if you can't take the heat.
I got to get out.
I know, and you put
well,
the you the one, and you're the one. You are the one that.
Yeah, what was that? Lost you, TP. We lost you. Yeah, I was the one. I was the one. And even right before the last show, I did say I didn't think. I thought that I said this again to Nacho. I said, I think that I don't see a path where Kentucky doesn't win because I didn't think Wisconsin had it. And they have it. They have it. I don't understand how I didn't see it, but I saw it long ago. I just didn't trust myself. So the good thing that the off season is coming up, that way I can take a time out, gain some perspective, find my zen, my chi, center myself, learn the control of my own intuition, and be able to harness and hone in on the proper picks or what do we want to call this? Fortune telling, I guess. I'm going to prognosticate my feelings just based on all the facts that are laid out for everyone else to decipher and digest. Everyone else has the same amount of things that I choose from. No one has more or less than me. I mean, actually, people probably might have more sometimes, and they make worse prognostications than I do. I know those guys somewhere off in the east, northeast, they make all kinds of outlandish claims, and they get paid millions to do things that just misinform and misinform and misinform. That's not what we do here in the kitchen. We like to promote the truth. And the truth of the matter is, we know our shit. So, anyway, I lost TP, but it's all good. I'm still sitting here with Nacho. Let's roll into one of the topics that's post the fallout, I think. It's something I would like to address. Post the fallout, we got TP back, of the press conferences. And it's the big uproar. Everyone's talking about it. It's only appropriate that we bring it up on the show, I think. Because it's a matter of, I think, deeper consideration for when you interview these kids, because they're children and we treat them as if they're professionals and they're not, and they're obligated to do these interviews and it's still emotional and charged up and they are totally on a different level and mentally not in a place to properly articulate themselves. Of course, the candid comment made by, was it Carl Anthony Towns? Or Andrew Harrison, of course, TP. Yeah, I know you know. So we don't even need to repeat. It doesn't bear repeating. We don't need to even say what happened. But it was a derogatory comment made about Frank Kaminsky, and the fact that my two cents. Then I'll hand it over, and maybe we'll see what Nacho thinks. I don't believe in a place and time for these players to be interviewed after such games. There should be a moment. There should be like an hour's worth of time. Go do everything. Get yourself cleaned up. Have some food, whatever. And then you have the interview. Like, let me gain my thoughts and gather myself after such an emotionally charged game before you sit here and ask me some dumb shit. Excuse my language. And you want me to talk good or try to be impressed by people that just beat me. And I honestly don't like them. They just won. Like, sure, I respect them, and there's going to be a place and time where we're going to shake hands. And I'm like, man, I was like, remember that epic game we played? I'm so glad you guys went on and won it, or whatever it is, where you can really, you know, have an appreciation for it. But until that time comes, there's going to be no love lost there. And I don't feel that these children, and I'm going to continue to call them that, children are treated properly in such an emotional state.
Now this is interesting. Now this is even a bigger, broader respect and love that I have toward Major right now, because he's on the other side of the spectrum of the situation, and this is how I would actually want to say that in respect to Harrison. But I understand the severity of what he said makes this an unusable term or phrase or however you want to put it together in that situation. I understand wholeheartedly where Major is coming from. I'd actually would respect it more if they did. You know, I don't know if they would go as far as giving these guys an hour, which I think they should, you know, something like so they can keep that. You're getting them right, and this is where I'm agreeing with you wholeheartedly. You're catching these guys not only in the heat of the moment, because they just got off that floor 10 minutes ago. They just got off that floor 10 minutes ago. They're still sweaty. Not to even get all graphic about them being sweaty or whatever, but they just still have that aura, that game on them right now. And they just went 38-0. I mean, they needed to win that game or win another game behind it to do the unthinkable, do something that nobody's ever seen in college basketball. And you talk about the player that is so highly coveted from Wisconsin, to be brutally honest, if Wisconsin wins this national championship tomorrow, I don't think Frank Kaminsky gets the most outstanding player. But I think he will, and I'm going to say Hail Sports City, because of politics. Because of politics, he will get it. Mm-hmm. I think Decker is that guy. And to me, I'm actually shining this guy's shoes right now. I think Decker is so ready for the NBA, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. So that's why it's kind of like, you know, Andrew, tell me about Frank Kaminsky. He could have said something else. He could have been like, forget that dude. And nobody would have had an uproar. But he says that. And he said it under his breath, but he's in front of the microphone. The microphone picked up every single thing that the dude said. He covered his mouth, everything. So, and Sports City, forgive me for this one. But the term he used, it wasn't even toward a Caucasian male. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was saying that, like, slang-wise. So I don't think it was, like, him trying to be racial about it. That's the tough part. I don't think he's trying to be racial about it, but that's a racial term that, you know, we could talk about hundreds of years on how bad that word is. So, I mean, I don't want to, you know, totally get to that, but I understand where you're coming from, Major, and I respect that you twist it that way, and it's understandable on the side of Harrison, if you will.
Well, you want to make yourself still look good in defeat. You want to be a sore loser as much as or a good winner as much as you are a good loser in both respects, right? And if you're a sore loser, because you're obviously a sore winner, and those victories they had earlier this season when they were close calls, you could see their immaturity and their celebrations and the way that they treated each other and the players that they played against. I mean, it stems from Coach Cal. He's an arrogant, you know, good old boy, some bitch. Like, he has the way he acts, like. The high and mighty, you know, that is the philosophy that surrounds that program wherever he goes. So it breeds this culture of I'm going to act this way. But you would think that after all this time in the spotlight, he would have been coached. And it drives back home another point that was made on Flavor all the time, that there is never enough accountability within each respective team's organizational hierarchy that says, okay, Aaron and team, if we win tonight, this is how we're going to proceed. If we lose tonight, heaven forbid, this is how we're going to proceed. You need to have contingency plans. You need to be ready, just like the court storming shit, and have people on the sidelines ready to play buffer and to do things. His choice of words is TP. First, it makes him look like a coward under his breath. He's a coward. He's a little sissy. Sissy, coward, scaredy cat, weak. He's weak. Okay? That's the first thing, the way he does it. And secondly, the choice of words make it so much worse, because he is talking about a white dude, and because it's not like that. You're not in the streets. This is not some kind of, like, gang battle. Like, that's where that comes in. It's like you said, you could have just said, you know what, at this time I'd just like to forget about Frank Kaminsky. That's the proper way to say that. That's the proper way to comment to that, because right now that's respect. That's a respectful way to say exactly what he just said instead. You know what I mean? Without having to use that word or say it under his breath like a coward. So that's where I'm at. I don't fully blame him. I understand that it's a choice he made. He's in control. But I blame Cal. I blame the other assistant coaches and all the publicity and all the PR people that surround this team and make them so prevalent in the spotlight and have built them up to this, you know, upper echelon of image, and now have allowed him to basically hang himself.
Now, wait, hold on. Now, I understand where you're coming from, and you just actually pushed me on the other side for Harrison to kind of side with him a little bit, not for the term, because that term is totally, you know,
right.
unwanted at the end of the day. But, you know, and they, like I said, I really can't take up too much for what he said or did. Heat of the moment, this just happened 10 minutes ago. I mean, you got guys like Willie Cauley-Stein that's not even getting called out for walking off the floor without shaking hands. And he's literally the face of Kentucky, even though I think Towns and Aaron Harrison, the other twin, the shooter, are more or less the face of Kentucky. But the guy that gets all the praise is the seven-footer that's, you know, getting alley-oops from half court because he could fly everywhere. So he walks off the floor. He, you know, that's actually going to get swept under the rug. People are going to point out the fact that Cauley-Stein walked off the floor. They're going to look at the fact that Harrison made the statement.
True.
Coach Calipari, you know, kind of, you know, they're saying that they're carrying the personality that Calipari carries at the end of the day. There was, like, I announced this on the show earlier today. There was something that Calipari did to calm Andrew down in the middle of that press conference. Andrew tried to sit up there in front of that whole press and try to put the entire blame of that loss on him. He basically was like, you know what, I didn't show up. I wasn't playing responsibly, this, that, or the third. Calipari cut him off to stop him from trying to do that madness, self-pity stuff. He said he was fine. Don't you worry about him. He was fine. Listen, when Calipari said that, it built a whole nother respect for me for Calipari, because I don't like Calipari. I'm going to be brutally honest. As a coach, him and Coach K are at the top of the list, both of them, just for competitive nature. It's not like I don't like them as people. I just don't like them as, you know, head coaches on doing their thing because they dominate a lot of teams throughout. But when he did that to get Harrison to shut up, to try and shoulder the load of a 15-man roster going out there, giving it their all, Calipari stole my heart right there, because it's like that's a no-nonsense coach and knew his player was going to sit in front of his locker as they get changed and try to bury himself in pity all the way till they get to Lexington, Kentucky. So I feel some type of way about that. All of this right now, what was after yesterday, was a heat of the moment situation at the end of the day. That's how I feel about it.
Well, then that's in every sport. That's always the heat of the moment, and we should know that by now. So I guess maybe in this circumstance, should we take it with a grain of salt, or should we? I don't know. That's what I mean by it. There are certain times when we're like, okay, we forgive you immediately. It's fine. It was the heat of the moment thing, and that's it. And then the other times when we dive deeper and we think, you know, is this some kind of scary trend, or is this a behavior that's, you know, being perpetuated in the locker room? You know, I don't know, TP. Nacho,
I'll say this in passing and let it go. I'll say it like this. He knew how close he was to that microphone, and I don't know if he was that frustrated and think he's going to get away with it. Plus, his choice of words, it was terrible, because that's what you're whispering under your, well, you thought you were whispering, and you know you weren't whispering. Uh-huh. You were pissed off. He was pissed off. He knew what the heck he was saying. And there's no taking that back. That's why he had to immediately go on Twitter and try to get everybody to, you know, try and buy into the apology, which I think, to be brutally honest, I think it's going to take him a while. And he might leave school and get into the league, so on and so forth, but I think it's going to take him a while to get away from this situation, because this is going to follow him for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably will follow him for a while. Nacho, you got 2 cents on the topic?
You know, when watching the interview at first hand, they questioned Carl Anthony Towns. That's who the original question was meant to. They asked him the question about Frank Kaminsky, zoomed in on Carl, and that's when we heard the phrase. I can only assume from what I saw, Andrew, who's tired of hearing about the guy who didn't beat him, he would probably have felt more better. He probably would have felt better they had asked about Sam Decker. I'm pretty sure those choice words wouldn't have come out. He probably would have had a lot to say on how he beat him. But I think he was just tired of hearing about a guy that didn't really beat them. You know, he put his double-double up, but that's what he does. But he did nothing in that game that stood out to me that was you know, Sam Decker-like to help put Wisconsin over the hump to beat Kentucky. I just think he was mad. He was upset. Totally in agreement with you about the time length. I think definitely they should get a little more time after the game, change, shower, come out, have like just enough time to, you know, cool down, because once you take a shower and change, you get to cool down and think about what just happened. So that gives you
right.
enough time to just to you at least, you know, collect your thoughts and don't say anything. So that I'm agreeing with you on. But you know, when it comes to what he said, we've all played sports. We've all heard it said. We've all been mad. So it just it's when and how he said it. You know, it's just it was just bad timing. Why there's seven mics on one stage for a post interview is beyond me. It begs the question that they were trying to see if they could get one of these guys whispering something. He was nowhere near the mic. He was backed up. He had his hand over his face before the question was asked. To me, he didn't try to be a coward in my perspective. I thought more or less he was just sitting back. Somebody asked his teammate a question about a guy that he really didn't feel participated in beating his team in the way that they should be questioned as much about him as they were. So that's all it really came down to me. The choice words don't really upset me as much. I'm in, you know, that era. I'm going to be 29 April 7th. So I'm in that era where that word was used at a constant base all the time in school, from every race and every gender almost. So it kind of didn't get really under my skin as much as I think it should have, because it more of was a second nature thing. I don't really care if Frank Kaminsky was black, Asian, Samoan, whatever. South American, Brazilian. I think Andrew Harrison would have said that about anybody. It doesn't matter if Frank was white or not.
Probably.
I think it was just F that guy, you know, and that's the word that he wanted to use. And it's a poor choice of word. You know, the meaning of the word, like I said, to me has been, you know, degraded in some point because of the overuse of it. And it gets really, you know, not as much, in the minds of these youth as it being a bad word or being a word that you shouldn't use, because the overconsumption or the overuse of this word in the youth of today is really bad. It's every other word that word is being let out. And like I said, it's not just African-Americans. It's Hispanics and whites and women and males. It's all over. So it's just been so downgraded as a bad word in today's youth that I don't think he thought anything of it when he was saying it, that it would take such effect. So it's just hard to decipher what's going on. Like you said, they're still children. They're not full adults yet. So, you know, they're handled like children at school, and then they're expected to act like adults in front of a camera. It's just it's weird to me. So I don't understand why you would expect a kid to come out and not expect something to get caught on a recorder, like I say, when you've got seven microphones up there and they're high definition microphones, and I'm sure they can pick up 5 to 10 feet in front, around, everywhere. So it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous. I think you're right. I don't think it would have mattered. So let's bring in Chandler now, my man Chandler. What's up, dude? Welcome to the kitchen, buddy.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I forgot the show was on. How's things going?
It's all good. We're pretty good, man. So general thoughts on the whole scenario and how we've landed here after the Final Four, buddy. What's your take? How do you feel?
Well, I mean, Wisconsin played a great game. I was not a believer in Wisconsin, and they proved me wrong.
I wasn't
they
either.
Played,
yeah.
They played the perfect, I'm like I said, a perfect game, but they played a complete game in every facet. They took it to Kentucky's bigs. They got into their bodies. They took away their length. Bo Ryan outcoached John Calipari. They beat them in every facet of the game. Kentucky, there's no excuses. It's not about the refs. It's not about, oh, they were looking for perfection and they were overwhelmed. They got beat by a team that played better. It happens. Sometimes the other team just is better than you that night. Wisconsin was better. Same thing with Duke and Michigan State. You know, if that had been any team other than Tom Izzo coaching that team, no one would have expected Michigan State to even be there or win at all. No one would have said they had a chance, maybe except an alumnus of the school. So that game went the way it was supposed to, except for the fact that Tom Izzo was coaching. The more talented team won. I'm not touching the Andrew Harrison thing anymore. I have my own feelings about that particular word. I'm a little bit older than everybody here, so it means a little something different to me. But, you know, he needs to show a little more class, and he's earned the beat up that he's getting, and hopefully he learns from it.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's just a sad situation where these kids just don't have any – they're around it, but they don't really understand it. And you'd hope that after all this time in the spotlight, you'd understand where to draw the line. But anyway, we digress. Let's dive into the matchup for tomorrow night, guys. I mean, here we are, a rematch from earlier this season in which Duke beat Wisconsin by 10, if I'm not mistaken. It's something where the good old Big Ten, the good old ACC, throwing one of their best of each into the ring here. I think maybe we all could have seen Wisconsin. I don't know if many of us would have seen Duke making it here. I don't know. I can speak for myself only. I've seen them play weaker. But like I said earlier in the podcast, the TP, they've really come on. They've improved their weaknesses. They've enhanced their game in places where they haven't been strong. And it's been a sight to see, and it only makes sense because it's Coach K. So we'll start with you, Timeless. I mean, any what do you think is going to be the key to the matchup tomorrow night, Duke-Wisconsin?
The key to this matchup, I mean, there's a lot of stuff flying around about who's going head-to-head on the floor. I think the critical situation of this entirety of the game is the guy that made Andrew Harrison say what he said. Frank Kaminsky is the key to this game for Wisconsin to win or lose this game, however it goes. If Kaminsky is on the floor and able to play and not getting into foul trouble, because virtually that's what I really see happening, I think Okafor is going to end up getting him in foul trouble, and this is going to put Wisconsin in a very tough situation in this matchup. If he's able to stay on the floor, though, and not get in foul trouble, he could actually end up pulling Okafor away from that rim, and a lot of things can happen, even though Okafor isn't the best of defenders. And I'm going to be brutally honest. He's not the best of defenders. He's a big body down there, but he doesn't go after shots, and he's not altering people's offensive play as they get down there. But Kaminsky gets to play his game because Okafor is not going to play him body to body, because I think Kaminsky has footwork and tools to get by him. So and plus, Okafor don't want to sit up there and get in foul trouble either. So I think this game is actually going to swim around Kaminsky. I don't know if he will be the sign, still deliver X factor, but I think if he's on the floor, I think Wisconsin has a good, legit shot to knock Duke off. But by the way, like I said, I've slowly been turning into a Winslow fan. I'm slowly I can't even say slowly. I'm a big Decker fan by now. See what he's been doing all season long. I think that those two are going to kind of wash each other out. But if Kaminsky's on the floor, this could be a very interesting top two, if you will, because there's a Final Four top two. It only can be one at the end of the day. I don't know which way to go. This is a flip a coin in the air with my hands over my eyes and try to pick one situation, because, you know, I think Coach K has the tools to win it and, you know, do the unthinkable. And I think Wisconsin is probably in the best situation for a storybook ending if they can knock off Duke. And you know, my heart is with Wisconsin, my brain is with Duke, so I don't know which way to go with it, man. This is an unreal final, I know that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'd agree with you. I don't think Frank plays the best D, but he's been playing better D lately. Chandler, you're key to the matchup tomorrow night. What do you think? What do you got?
I think it's the benches. Because I think Winslow and Decker kind of cancel each other out. Both of those guys are the keys to this game. Kaminsky and Okafor, to me, are secondary. It's those two guys. But I think they're a wash. I think Kaminsky and Okafor is a wash. I think it comes down to the bench. And if Wisconsin really has a letdown after beating Kentucky, because to me, the way they celebrated, I think that was their championship game, beating Kentucky. And the way they celebrated, I think it's only natural they have a little bit of a letdown going against Duke. And I think that could be the difference. I think Duke is going to win, but I would like for Wisconsin to win. And I hate to say it this way, but just to validate what Bo Ryan has done at Wisconsin. At this point, he shouldn't have to validate it, but he still does. You know, he still has people not believing. in that team, in that program that he's built at a football school. You know how hard it is
yeah.
to build a basketball program at a football school? And he doesn't get near enough credit for what he's done. So I'd like to see them win it so that he could get that credit and validation. But I think Duke takes his game because I think their bench is more talented than Wisconsin's bench.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a bad idea, honestly. I think that you're right, especially with the fact that they're all making a big deal about this whole scholarship thing with Duke. And it is true, Duke doesn't have the rotation that Wisconsin has. They don't have the depth there. So it could prove, I think, to be very difficult for Duke at the end of the day if they're not able to make the switches they want. I think still got Nacho on the line. Nacho, you still there with us, man?
Yeah, what's going on?
You got any keys, do you think, to the matchup tomorrow night?
You know, I did say earlier this is going to be a convincing matchup for a convincing win for Wisconsin. But I think there is one thing to look at, and it's going to be the defense that Duke plays. And that's because
yeah.
in the Elite Eight and the Final Four, they went up against man-to-man in Arizona and Kentucky, talking about Wisconsin. Now they're going to be going up against the zone defense. And they have been really good zone defense. Duke's opponents are averaging 55 points while shooting 37.4% from the field. So if they can do, you know, defensively what they've been able to do to everyone else, which is going to be hard to do, obviously, when you've got a guy like Decker out there. I think that's going to be something to look for. Wisconsin, like I said, going up against man-to-man the past couple games, maybe a little hangover. But that defense at Duke, just seeing what they bring to the table in that first half, really determined this game to me.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's true. Duke has played spotty defense here and there. If they're able to tie it all together with, that's the thing, though. It's what Chandler said with the bench, though. They don't have the defensive bench depth. I don't know if they have the defensive bench depth. That's the thing. My key right now in the whole thing is coaching. I mean, and right now, the hottest coach is Bo Ryan. He's taken down juggernauts, okay? Duke has taken down some lightweights. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, Gonzaga wasn't really that much of a test for them, and then Michigan State laid a dud. So Duke's kind of gotten off easy here, guys. I mean, what do you think, TP? I think Bo Ryan's probably a little hotter right now.
This is what I think, too, and it's interesting that Chandler threw that point out there about how they celebrated after knocking Kentucky off because the revenge factor on how Harrison knocked down that three-point shot last year to beat Wisconsin. I forgot all about it until they showed it before the game started. I was like, oh, that's how they lost last year. So knowing how Chandler threw out the situation of how they celebrated on the floor makes me think Bo Ryan gets these guys in that locker room and regroups and is like, hey, you guys have to be calm in this moment because you got to get overzealous and all over yourselves and play Duke and get beat up real bad on national TV because everybody in the country is watching this national championship. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Yeah.
This is where Bo Ryan could actually put his hands in the cement or his feet in the cement like Hollywood would do and knock off Coach K. The story wouldn't be any better. Literally, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to let y'all in on my personal. I still watch the movie Glory Road. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but this is when Texas Western beat Kentucky I think it was 1956, if I'm not mistaken. And they weren't supposed to do it. They were going through all type of racial situations. They weren't supposed to do it. I still watch that movie now just because how much I love the game and love that movie. So I think this is going to be a situation where a coach, no nonsense like this, Bo Ryan doesn't play that crap to go up against a team like Duke where they're highly coveted, similar to the way Kentucky was back in 56 with, I'm drawing a blank, like Pat Riley and all of those guys that were on that team with Adolph Rupp. So, like, this is a storybook setting. If they can come off with this victory, and Wisconsin's last time of being in a national championship was 1941, before that movie was even thought of, you know, like, man, this is epic. This is epic for Wisconsin. Wisconsin gets it done, this is going to be one incredible story after that.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, look, I'm not all that excited about this matchup because we have already seen it, but it is kind of interesting because both teams are not playing anything like they were at the time they played previously.
Right. But
you know,
how is it not like getting your goosebumps going. Like, are you kidding? This is a heavy matchup where it's literally, to me, David versus Goliath. I think, you know, there's more big names on Duke than there is on Wisconsin. And everybody kind of sides with Goliath all the time because you want to see the big guy get knocked off. And notably, a lot of people have put their money on the big guy because they know the big guy is probably going to be the unthinkable winner at the end of the day. So this is why I say this is storybook type of basketball right here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's kind of feels a little vanilla for me.
Vanilla,
you know what it feels like?
Excuse me. It's that's what I was talking about with Wisconsin. The casual basketball fan doesn't know Wisconsin even plays basketball. Let's be honest.
Right.
For ratings and for everything else, this is not a sexy matchup. Wisconsin? Who the hell's Wisconsin? You have to watch college ball to know how good Wisconsin is. But to the casual fans, and that's what brings in the viewers and all the other stuff, this is not a great matchup. This is not the matchup that the NCAA wanted. This is not the matchup CBS wanted. Trust me on that.
No.
Okay?
No.
Because Wisconsin is not sexy. They don't have a history. You can't look at them. This is not Kansas. It's not Duke. It's not North Carolina. This is not a powerhouse. Yet it is a premier program in college basketball. But this is not a sexy matchup.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it doesn't have any kind of like sparkle and flash. It's got fundamental. It's got historic. And it's got comfortable, I think. But it doesn't have any fire, you know. There's no Katniss Everdeen in this matchup. So I guess let's get to it. Let's get to the picks then. I mean, I for all my money, I'll lay it out there first. I really do not want Duke to win, and that's just my own ACC bias love. Like, I love the ACC, and there's one team I don't want to see win, and it's Duke. So I'm taking Wisconsin. They're playing hotter. They're favored by one. I think that it could be that close. Frank, probably, like, I agree with you, TP. I don't think he wins the award tomorrow night. I think it could be Decker. But regardless, I think they put the team win together, and I think they take it home. Chandler, let's go to you next.
I've been picking against Wisconsin. They've been winning. And so I'm going to keep doing that because I want them to win, but I'm going to pick
love it.
So that's where it's going because I've been picking against them all tournament and they've been winning, so I'm not going to stop now.
Yeah. All right. Nacho, are you still with us? Give us your pick for tomorrow night, buddy.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin rolls Duke. Easy victory. As much of a non-pretty matchup this is, as Chandler said, it's going to be even uglier for anyone that does watch it.
Yeah, timeless.
They really think this game is going to be ugly. Y'all cut it out. Stop it. Okay. Look, let me do it like this, okay? Like I said, my heart is with Wisconsin, but my brain is with Duke. And especially, I'm like the rest of the census of people out here. I don't like Coach K just for competitive reasons. And I don't want to sit up here and go against Coach K and he wins and everybody be like, oh, you want to show you're going against Coach K? I know what I need to do right here to end the madness in the kitchen the right way. I'm going with Wisconsin.
Going with the Wisco.
But my head is with Duke, but my heart is with the red and white. I want to see Decker and them get it done. And, Like I said, I love to see them type of stories go down. And everybody's been riding with Wisconsin once they started seeing Aaron Rodgers on TV and said he wasn't doing no, you know, interviews with guys. Aaron Rodgers, I'm bought in. I mean, there's a lot of people watching Wisconsin trying to do it. I'm going with the Badgers.
All right. Well, the kitchen, as usual, has a little division. I like that. But we all know their motivations behind each one. I'm not sure if we're going to do a follow-up show. There might not be a point to it if, you know, it's just kind of a moot. They're champions, and maybe we'll have a preview for next season, wrap-up of this season episode in the next week or two once everything kind of settles here. But There's been some coaching changes. There's been some other stuff. We might save it for a recap preview show. But otherwise, man, it's been a great season so far this year in the kitchen, and this is just wrapping up another one of those great shows we got to start because of it. TP, I want to thank you as always. It's a pleasure. Chandler, for joining in sporadically. It's always great to have you in the kitchen. Nacho, for tuning in. Nacho, where are you calling from again?
Oh, calling from Arizona, Phoenix.
Oh, word. All right. Look at that. So we got a new chef in the kitchen from Arizona tonight, too. But that's what it's about, man, having your voice heard here in the kitchen talking about all the good morsels that are out there for us to feast on. Check us out, as usual, on the website, sportscitychefs.com. We're always on the Blog Talk Radio site. Check for the updated show schedule. I'm pretty sure we got the Monday Night Sports Wrap tomorrow night. Also, we're going to have the inaugural episode of our new baseball show Chandler and I are doing with Matt from Atlanta tomorrow. I think we're going to be doing that at, what, 2 o'clock Maya time, 5 o'clock your time, Chandler?
Yep, 5 o'clock All my right. time, 2 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah, so check us out there. And as usual, check me out on Twitter at The Major Gray. And on iTunes, you can find us there, Sports City Chef. Just search Sports City Chefs, and you should be able to find up the show page and subscribe. But for all the chefs in the kitchen, I want to thank you guys for joining us on this lovely show. TP, you want to send us home, buddy?
Tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Now they know.